Tuesday, and welcome to the People's Show. I am Bick Nizar. Hopefully you haven't forgotten me. It has been a while for me here on the People's Show. Pumped up to be back on a Canucks game day as well, broadcasting from the portable Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintec.net. I imagine everything's still the same. You can still get involved in the show. 650-650 into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Dunbar Lumber, three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street. Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. I'm Bick, behind the glass running the show. It's Dom. Dom, long time no speak. How are you?
Welcome back. You sound good. It's good to have you back.
Thank you so much. I am grateful for healthy bodies back in the scenario again. And yeah, not back in office, but I can do the show. I took some time off because family was in town from the UK, and then they brought unknown pathogens from all corners of the universe, and it struck me down in my prime here, and I'm back. So I'm pumped up. I missed a lot, though.
Yeah, no kidding.
Also, you can get in touch, 604-280-0650, down the Dispatch Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning hotline. The first call, the only call, we'll talk to our guests down that hotline as well. Matthew Fairburn joining us in a handful of minutes here in the first segment. Also, Yannick Hansen on a Tuesday, as he does every Tuesday and Fridays on Canuck Central here on Sportsnet 650. We'll get to it all down the Dispatch Plumbing and Heating and Air Conditioning hotline. The first call, the only call. But not much has changed here on the People Show. The T kicking things off. Dom, let's get into it. Oh, it's so good to hear that again. It's hot. It's hot.
Isn't it? Welcome back. First bit of T here, Bick. Demko is back in net tonight.
Thatcher Demko, after a long absence, haven't seen him since March 9th, back in goal. This was always going to be the thing that we saw, you know, a handful of games near the end of the season. I would have liked to see maybe a handful of games earlier. But nevertheless, Thatcher Demko back in goal tonight against the Calgary Flames, obviously on Sportsnet 650 later today on Sportsnet Pacific at 7 o'clock. Sat and Dan will have your pregame. Sat and Dan also will have your postgame. I won't be there on the postgame. But nevertheless, Thatcher Demko back in. Nice to just see 35 back in net. Again, how many games is going to be enough for him to get ready to get into the playoffs? That's what it's all about. Not just, hey, getting back into the lineup. This isn't the end of season or something like that where the Canucks aren't going to the playoffs. So two games, probably enough. How many does he need in the preseason to get ready for the start of the season? I think a similar logic is going to apply. Would I have liked to have seen three? Sure, reality is Thatcher Demko, after 5.5 weeks, it's been a minute here, and we've been judging this team in a Thatcher Demko-less world as well. Something I want to ask Yannick Hansen about coming up in about a half hour. Just how much can we take away from these 14 games that we haven't seen Thatcher Demko in net for the Canucks? And is it fair to judge the Canucks under those circumstances where they went 7-5-2 and were -1? What do you take away from that stretch, or are we going to see a new version of this team once their primary goalie, their stud, who could be up for a Vezina even despite the absence, is back in the fold? And even heard JT's comments today. You know, there's so many attributes Thatcher Demko brings outside of excellent goaltending, but JT today just talking about the demeanor of Thatcher Demko and his head, and we've naturally discussed this over the course of a few seasons, but the poise for Thatcher Demko has been massive. And here he is coming back into the mix to close out the season. It'll be a nice return for Thatcher Demko. I imagine he gets an amazing ovation from the crowd as they announce the starting lineup, and that first time he makes his save tonight as the Canucks take on the Calgary Flames.
If you had told me that Thatcher Demko would be back before you returned to studio, I would not have believed you. Anyway.
Hey, technically, I made it back first, didn't I?
But he's on the ice.
Yeah, fair enough.
He was in practice.
Yeah, fair enough. He hit the ice before I picked up a microphone.
Exactly,
That's rough. But I was out shorter. He's been out since March 9th. With a real injury, though, to be fair.
Fair, yeah. Fair. You were just on the pup list. It's all good.
Yeah. You know what? I kind of pulled to Vegas. I was did like an LTIR. You guys brought me back right before the playoffs. So I guess Mark Stone had a lacerated spleen, and I had a some form of laryngitis and influenza and everything.
And we just brought Josh in on a cap-friendly salary, and
oh yeah,
Bob's your uncle.
That's a big one. You know, Josh Elliott Wolf, the Chandler Stevenson of 650.
Yeah. AHL All-Star.
Huge. Just excellent work.
Andre Kuzmenko returns to Rogers Arena tonight for the second time. He's on a scoring tear. It's the revenge game for Andre Kuzmenko.
Revenge game? What revenge?
Well, they traded him away, Bick. I don't know if you know this little bit of
news.
No,
I know. But, like, what's the revenge here? Like, he can score a goal to keep the Canucks out of clinching Western Conference first place. I guess that's revenge.
Show the team what you're missing by, you know, after you've been dealt.
Well, he's made a return already to Rogers Arena, but nevertheless, like he's done well here this last little stretch. I haven't spent a lot of time worrying about Andre Kuzmenko's recent success here, where it's 24 points in 27 games, and yeah, it looks nice, but I'm less concerned about the X when you have an X next to your name. The Canucks clinched their playoff spot. This is like you've had your successful run in life and you're married, family's great, and your ex like bought a new car. It's like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, congratulations. Like, our lives are fantastic, even without Andre Kuzmenko, who, hey, wish him well. He's got that contract. He's going to be gunning for another one next season. And so, hey, I hope he has every bit of success. But revenge game, welcome back to Vancouver. But the Vancouver Canucks are thriving in an Andre Kuzmenko-less world. Thriving, a little tongue-in-cheek, 7-5-2 here in this post-deadline world. But also without Thatcher Demko. Should be noted. So the Canucks getting ready for the playoffs, which is far more meaningful than Andre Kuzmenko's 24 points here. But it'll be cool.
They're lacking in offensive production. I'm just saying, like, you could use that goal scoring on Pedersen's line. Anyway, we'll leave it there.
Wins is more important, right? Like, sure. Getting wins and winning in the playoffs is far more important than, you know, the overall levels of production. If the Canucks won games 2-1 all the way through to the third, fourth round, Stanley Cup final, people aren't going to be like, oh, offensive production is lacking.
Next bit of tea, Bick. The Canucks can clinch the Pacific Division tonight with a win or a single point.
That'd be pretty fantastic. Like, I honestly, when we did preseason predictions, and the division is not something you think about all the time, obviously, right? It's just for where we were to where we are, I do think it's a nice marker to look at this and say, wow, they really won the division this year. Like, it's stunning to go from everything's falling apart, all those goals against Bruce Boudreau, like, what's happening here? And then Rick Tocchet comes in, establishes a little bit of an identity in the final 30-some-odd games. You're thinking, all right, how much can actually carry over to the new season? And there were so many question marks last summer. Horvat, Miller, and all these things. And now we're talking about division winners? It's astounding. To do as much work they've done in a single calendar season. Now, a lot of it was, you know, predated even the season, you know, trades and things like that, and Ronit comes in. But the progress in just a season, to me, can culminate tonight with a division banner. And it's not something, again, you don't remember every single division title, but I think it signifies things to come. And you get this one down, to me, you in a division, you provide yourself some staying power in the Pacific Division. Yes, Vegas is good. Yes, McDavid exists, and LA might 1-3-1 their way to a 3 seed again next season. But for the most part, you clinch a division, you win a division, that should mean something. And to do it in just the 1 year, and maybe they're a 2 seed next year, but to me, that's staying power. You're back in the mix consistently. And they've done so many things remarkable this season, and it's something I want to chat with Yannick, because you know, we won't talk to him before the season ends, obviously. He'll be in the height of playoffs when you speak to him next week. So we'll do a bit of a season review with Yannick when he joins us here coming up in about 20 minutes.
From the Pacific Division to the Western Conference, Bic. If the Stars lose and the Canucks win out, they can still win the West. However, if they win the West, that sets up a date with the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round.
Right. And I think everyone's hoping tonight 1 point is the move, right? Is everyone kind of sitting there looking at Nashville and saying, that's the reward for finishing first in the Pacific? I think people would rather take second in the West than first in the West right now.
But, Bic, what did the Toronto Maple Leafs teach us last year?
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm not speaking for myself. I just, the general sentiment I feel that people are just looking at, like, salivating over Nashville. And what is the odds? Like 90% odds that they're going to be playing Nashville, something ridiculous like this. So it feels like it's setting up for Nashville. Look, I don't think you could do the gamesmanship thing of just try to get 1 point tonight and then just be thrilled that you're locked into your spot. Play the game. It's who you play is who you play. If you want to be the big bully on the block and you want to be the team that's ready to take steps, you take on all comers. If it's Vegas, if it's Nashville, if it's LA, whatever it may be, play your games out. But it feels overwhelming that it is going to be the Nashville Predators. And I think that'll be a fun matchup.
And finally here, Bic, big news from the NHL. The Buffalo Sabres have fired Don Granato as head coach.
Yeah, look, we've chatted a couple of times with Matthew Fairburn, dating back to January, a little bit before that too, just how the Sabres were trending. And you know, we discussed even back then, in December, someone like Casey Mittelstadt, like they're gonna have to make changes, and changes are plenty now in Buffalo. Don Granato, who, you know, did a decent job, like 75 points, 91 points, and they were the team that everyone wanted to watch last year. Tage Thompson was ripping it up, and they were the pick. You know, you got Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power is a year older. It looks like they righted the ship and got rewards like an Alex Tuck in the Eichel trade and was Dylan Cousins. Like, they got pieces. And they just stubbed their toe repeatedly this season, never really got off the ground. They're sitting here above 500, so it's harsh. And Don Granato at some point got a contract extension, obviously. And it sucks, but clearly they are demanding more. And that was the overwhelming sentiment from Kevin Adams in his media availability today. And it looks like a team that might finally be ready to take this step. And I wonder, too, how much the example of like the Vancouver Canucks stands out for management teams and more specifically owners across the league of how quickly it flipped here in Vancouver. You saw Ottawa make comments. I'm curious if Buffalo views it the same way. Hey, they fixed something so quickly in their organization. Can we do that here in Buffalo? And maybe enough progress hasn't been made for the Sabres to look at this and say, yeah, we feel fantastic. And it's tough because it's an exciting team. I think a lot of people want to see Buffalo have some success, a small market, cool jerseys, and just get it right. But, man, they just feel rudderless. And they felt rudderless going back to, what, 2011? They go through the Eichel tank phase. That doesn't work out. They go through Phil Housley, Ralph Kruger, now Don Granato, and it just nothing feels like it gains traction. But let's get into it with Matthew Fairburn, who joins us now from The Athletic, covering the Buffalo Sabres on a day where they let go of Don Granato. Matt, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Different ends of the spectrum of what we're gearing up for here in Vancouver versus what Buffalo is dealing with today. So take us through this. Why did the Sabres make this move today, and what does it speak about the overall sentiment in Buffalo right now?
Yeah, I think you could certainly make the case that the move could have happened sooner, but the Sabres ultimately looked at where they were at the end of the season. They had their final game last night, and they looked at it and saw a team that extended its league record playoff drought to 13 years, three of which, you know, Don Granato was the head coach for the entire season. And this was the season that they expected to take that jump into the playoffs. I think if you look around the Eastern Conference, it's not a strong race for that second wildcard spot. It's an interesting race, but it's not necessarily one that, you know, anybody is running away with. It was a spot that was there for the taking, and the Sabres didn't take advantage of you know, weak conferences here. And I think that was a big determining factor. It was just simply the team did not play up to expectations, and there's always going to be accountability for that somewhere. And this time in Buffalo, it was the head coach.
So the first thing that jumps to my mind when I thought about the Sabres season is the decision at the start of the year to say, hey, like, we're putting our eggs in the Devon Levi basket. And when you get to this stage, too, and you think, okay, you fired your coach. And, you know, the classic phrase, like, show me good goalie, I'll show you the good coach. But I just wonder if maybe they want to take this step, and they also put too much on the shoulders of their goaltending position. And it stabilized later with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. But I look at the start of the season, and maybe they just made this task too difficult for themselves at the same time.
Absolutely. I think it's important to point out that this is not all on Don Granato, right? This is not all on the coaching staff, because there was a lot of decisions, like the one you mentioned, to go with Devon Levi, you know, a rookie goalie in the first four games of the season. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was actually the third goalie to start games for the Sabres this season. They sort of, you know, lucked into the fact that he became, you know, almost Vezina caliber from January 1st on. But they were figuring out their goalie situation early in the season, while in October, November, and December, they played at a 73-point pace. That's a hole that you're going to have a hard time climbing out of, no matter what kind of team you are, especially if you're one like the Sabres who hasn't, you know, been there and done that. So there's that. You know, there's some roster decisions, I think, in the offseason that were questionable. They brought back the entire forward group from a season ago. The only change was inserting 18-year-old Zach Benson, who had a great season, but you're already young and you're adding more rookies into a lineup that has plenty of young players already. They had Jack Quinn injured in the summer and didn't do anything to replace him, you know, during the offseason, hoping that he would come back in December and be able to impact their lineup positively, which he did, but then he got hurt again. So it never quite worked out. I think they were caught in between in a lot of ways in terms of how they played. They were this offensive team a year ago, and then they come out and they're trying to be more defensive. They weren't a great defensive team. They maybe improved to be an average defensive team, and it took a huge hit on their offense. They had the 28th ranked power play in the NHL. They had 47 fewer goals than they did last season. No player on their roster hit 60 points after five players hit 60 points last year. So that there's a whole bunch of factors that some have something to do with Don Granato, but other people, you know, including general manager Kevin Adams, bear some responsibility for some of those other factors as well. But I do think this was the right move, in the sense that this is a team that started extremely slow. As of right now, as we're talking, they have allowed the most first period goals in the NHL. It's possible the Blackhawks will pass them by the end of the season, but 97 goals in the first period. You talk about how slow they started the season. They also started games slow repeatedly. I counted six times from November 30th that they got within 4 points of the playoffs, and they were 0-6 in the games that followed getting that close. And that just speaks to a team that couldn't handle when the stakes got raised and when the things got tighter come, you know, late in the season, when people are fighting for playoff spots. And then, you know, I touched on the power play, but that can also be a coaching issue, right? The inability to make adjustments and find answers to a part of the team that was once a strength, all were major red flags about Don Granato. And Kevin Adams had pointed out at times this season that, you know, the team's lack of compete level, the team's inability to get to the front of the net. These are simple things that at some point you probably need a new voice in there. The phrase he used in his press conference today is that he thinks this team, these players, are craving accountability and structure, which I think sends the loudest message he could possibly send about what they were getting in the previous coach.
a lot of things that we heard in this market in Vancouver prior to Rick Tocchet arriving. And I'm just curious, like, how much maybe other teams see what Vancouver did in a one-year turnaround. And you mentioned, like, this defensive turnaround, and it came at the expense of goals in Buffalo. And I'm just curious, like what the identity is meant to be moving forward. Because last year, they were the fun team. Like, everyone – like, I tuned into so many Sabres games, and then midway through the season, it just looked off. And I'm just curious, like, where they intend to go to craft this next identity.
Well, Kevin Adams made it crystal clear in his press conference that he is looking for NHL experience and pedigree in the next Sabres coach. He seemed to have a very specific vision and have some very specific names in mind, and he said the process was going to start as soon as this afternoon, talking to some of those candidates. You know, I mentioned accountability and structure as two big things that he thinks the team lacked and that they need. He was pretty open-ended in terms of he thinks you can win in the NHL playing a lot of different styles. So I think that will be a conversation moving forward with the next coach. But I think it's important to note that Kevin Adams still believes strongly in the core of players that they have. And so when you look at the skill sets that they've added to this team, he's always wanted speed. He's always wanted, you know, guys that compete. And, you know, the offensive skill on this team is obvious. Look at the defensemen that they've gone out and got. You know, they have Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power. They go out and get Bowen Byram, another guy with good offensive instincts and the ability to flip transition and push the pace of play. So I would be surprised if they didn't play that brand of hockey. But in terms of the type of guy they're looking for behind the bench, it's, you know, somebody with a lot of NHL experience, somebody who's been to the playoffs, somebody who can show this team what it takes to get from where they are to where they want to go. And I think Vancouver is a super interesting comparison for the Sabres because of the turnaround that they've had in one season. And I think it was part of the case for doing this earlier, because you look at Rick Tocchet coming in at the end of the season and having a chance to, you know, get players used to him, put in his systems, his style of doing things. They really were able to hit the ground running and got off to a super fast start this year and you know, haven't looked back. That was, I think, a big deal. It's not to say that you can't do that hiring the new coach in the summer months and in the off season. New York did that and it's gone well. So I think there's a lot of optimism internally, especially from Kevin Adams, that this is the right button to push and they can make that type of turnaround. He was not shy about saying, playoffs are the expectation. The time is now. He's sick of hearing about them being a young team. He doesn't even want to mention it anymore. So there's an urgency here to get this hire right and to make sure that this playoff drought ends at 13 seasons.
What does this mean for Kevin Adams too? You know, with the extension for Granato, and you make this decision now, and you know, progress hasn't really been made. What's his standing?
That's absolutely a fair question, and considering Kevin Adams is the one leading the coaching search, for now I have no reason to think he's not safe as the general manager, but I will say, you know, he's now 4 full seasons as general manager and hasn't made the playoffs, so the fifth one is a big one. And, you know, I wondered coming into today whether, you know, he might be on shaky ground as well, but you know, the fact that he's leading this coaching search, I think speaks to, you know, where the Sabres are at with him. But I thought he struck all the right notes today. He's taking as much public accountability as he possibly can for what happened and knows that he shares a big chunk of the blame, even though Don Granato is the one who ends up losing his job. And I think the big takeaway I had from the way he spoke, you know, getting to know Kevin Adams and, you know, the rhythm of some of these press conferences, there was a definite urgency in his voice that, you know, he wants to act quickly on a hire. He wouldn't, you know, rule out, you know, a really fast timeline because he's very clear on what he wants. He has a vision, he has a plan. And I think he recognizes some of the areas he went wrong, some of the areas the team went wrong, and what they need to do to close that gap. So year 5 is huge for him, though. He needs to take advantage of the cap space, take advantage of the open roster spots, and make the right hire at head coach, because you only get so many cracks at that, especially when, you, like you said, he was the one who recommended the extension of Don Granato prior to the 2022-2023 season when he had 2 years left on his contract. So Granato's contract hadn't even kicked in yet when they made this decision today to fire him. That's 2 years they'll be paying him, not the coach. So that puts even more pressure on him to get this one right.
The reason I asked about the timeline, you mentioned here we go into year five, and here he is looking for a coach with NHL experience. And I just wonder if that changes the power dynamics of the organization, where if you get someone with NHL experience, maybe they're going to be the ones that kind of are the new the shiny new toy in the eyes of ownership as well. And job preservation goes so far as leading decisions amongst executives. And I just wonder if they're passing up, obviously, on Seth Appert as well, and then what this next future looks like just in general for the Sabres.
Yeah, it's a fascinating component to what's going to happen here over the next few weeks and months, because it will largely depend on the name, right? If it's Lindy Ruff, somebody who has such, you know, great standing in this community and still with this franchise after everything he did as a player and as a coach here, and is at that point in his career where maybe, you know, he has the front office in his sights, that's definitely something to consider. It's also something that I don't think ownership should let Kevin Adams shy away from, and he does not seem like he's going to shy away from it. And I think that's a credit to him, because where they were as a team when Kevin Adams took over, Don Granato was not necessarily a bad choice. You know, the way they wanted to develop young players and build from within, he got a lot out of some individual players for a long stretch of time. It hit a roadblock this season, but it was a worthy, you know, it was a worthy run from him as head coach, and certainly a different dynamic, though, from what you're talking about, where if you bring in Lindy Ruff or Craig Berube or Bruce Boudreau, you know, that guy becomes, you know, a powerful person within your hockey structure. So I think that's overdue, frankly. They don't have a president of hockey operations here. They don't, you know, there aren't a ton of senior, you know, level members of the front office. It's Kevin Adams reporting directly to Terry Pegula. So bringing in an experienced head coach, because Kevin Adams also didn't have a ton of front office experience before he got this job, right, either. So that is something that's missing at all levels of the organization. So I think the fact that is, I understand a lot of people, when coaching jobs come open, might roll their eyes at the recycled list of coaches. But here in Buffalo, it makes all the sense in the world, because in the locker room, they don't have a lot of players that have played in the playoffs. The NHL bench this season had one coach, Mike Bales, the goalie coach, who had coached in the NHL playoffs. You know, as I mentioned, Adams didn't have previous experience in a front office role. So having a voice that can command, that's been there and can command some respect in this building, I think is long overdue, and should certainly be exactly what they're looking for.
Fascinating times in Buffalo. We'll see what happens with the coaching hire, and I'm sure Matt will talk to you when they do something dynamic as well in the offseason. We really appreciate the time, and best of luck here.
Thanks so much for having me. Enjoy the playoffs.
That's Matthew Fairburn from the Athletic, Sabres reporter. On a day, again, they let go of Don Granato, and a lot to sort through in Buffalo. On the other side, we'll talk to Yannick Hansen. Before we go, though, this segment brought to you by JanPro, the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, contact JanPro for a free, no obligation quote. Visit janpro.ca. More coming up here on The People Show with me, Vic Nazar. I'm back. Yannick Hansen coming up here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.